My guest at this time is longtime radio talk show host Blanquita Cullum. She is a former governor on the broadcast board of governors appointed by President George W. Bush. She has hosted radio programs on the East Coast, in Texas, and in Chicago, where she hosts the program currently called The Hard Question. She is making news this week because on Wednesday, Blanquita will be part of a key group of women holding a press conference demanding the resignations of Senator Al Franken, as well as Congressman John Conyers, Democrat of Michigan, and Joe Barton, Republican of Texas. The press conference will also feature several women who have accused former President Bill Clinton of sexual harassment and assault, as well as Melanie Morgan, another radio talk show host who recently accused Al Franken of harassing her, not in a sexual way, but certainly in a menacing way after they appeared on the same television program a number of years ago. I'm also proud to say Blanquita was a colleague of mine for many years at Radio America as well. And BQ, thanks so much for your time today.
Oh, I'm so happy to join you. I'm very honored to be with you, Greg, very much.
Well, Wednesday, 10 o'clock, National Press Club, First Amendment Room. A lot of this will be in front of the TV cameras. What do you want this press conference to accomplish?
Well, first and foremost, yes, there are members that we feel that have dishonored their office and the American people by conduct unbecoming an elected official. And as you can see, it's not partisan. We feel that way about the left and the right. We are out there basically saying it is not the politics of the right and the left. It's the politics of the right and the wrong. The other thing that we're going to demand is the release of the list of this slush hush fund that taxpayers funded to the amount of $17 million over the past 10 years, covering up privately their sexual peccadilloes, kinds of fights that they've had that have involved members from both sides of the aisle, and some very high-ranking chiefs of staff, et cetera. We feel, look, the one thing that the members have forgotten is who their real boss is. We hired them. They owe, it's our money that has paid for it, and we feel that it's the right thing for them to do to let us know what we've been paying for. And if it's something bad, they need to go.
Whose decision is that? Is it the Speaker of the House? Do you have to get a judge to unseal those sorts of settlement agreements? How does that work?
Oh, I probably will have to get a FOIA, but in the process right now, we've reached out. It's interesting. We've reached out to many members of Congress to meet with us and to be there with us, some of them high-profile Republicans, and they say, no, we want to handle it in-house. In other words, even though they know that it's wrong and they're out there on the cameras, some of them won't show up with us because they don't want to have to have a target on their backs, too. And we're going to find out on Wednesday. We're going to find out whether we have to FOIA. But the first thing that we have to do is let them know that we're watching them and that we're not going to let them off the hook.
BQ, this press conference is involving a lot of different accusers, from Bill Clinton to Al Franken. Why did you decide to get involved in this particular issue with this particular event?
Because, first of all, I was ticked off as a taxpayer and having, as you know, been Senate confirmed, all the rigmarole that I had to go through when I took the oath and had to go through a very intense background check. And I, you know, you have to understand that when you raise your arm and you take that oath, that you're committed to serve. And if we can't make America and have America on a better ethical standard, what does that say for the direction? If we let this go, if we let this pass, what does that mean for our children? You've got children, great. You want them to have a government that's clean. It's always been a little bit dirty in D.C., and it certainly has been edgy in our business. But that doesn't mean, as Americans, that we don't try to correct that path and clean it up. And frankly, the other aspect of it is, why do they think that they get to pull this off without our knowing, that it's just going to go bye-bye? The other little dirty secret on this is that many, many members of the press have known about the indiscretions and the bad peccadilloes and known about this fund, but didn't say much because they wanted to have access, or they just didn't agree with the right or the left, and they were willing to cover it up and accept it. I mean, it goes way back. So, I've lived in D.C., as you know, for 26 years. It can be a pretty tough town, but it doesn't mean that we don't owe a responsibility to everyone out there. You know, there's an old saying, and I don't know if you ever saw the old Frank Capra movie. It's really old, and it's called Meet John Doe. And Gary Cooper says a line there, and it's supposed to be during the time of the Depression. You're probably asking what you can do out there, and I'm talking about the people listening, what you can do, because we're just little punks. In other words, we're just the little guys. well, the good of this country is dependent upon the little guys. And we saw that in the election. And right now, politics is changing. You got an earthquake of tectonic plates that are moving around of seismic proportions. And yes, those members owe us an answer. And that's why I'm here.
We're talking with Blanquita Kolem, longtime radio talk show host, former Senate-confirmed governor on the broadcast board of governors. BQ, we know a lot of the allegations that are against existing members, and certainly folks who have followed politics for a couple of decades now are well aware of the most of the accusers of Bill Clinton, from Paula Jones to Kathleen Willey to Juanita Broderick. And there's another one that will be at this press conference that folks perhaps don't know as much, Leslie Milwee. When we look at the $17 million in settlements and the folks who could be forced from office here, depending on the public pressure that they get, the Clintons aren't in office, and perhaps maybe with the Broderick case, there could still be potential for charges there. But why the Clinton accusers when there's not a lot you can do to the Clintons right now?
Well, it's not even so much about the Clintons, okay? Yeah, the Clintons were terrible when they absolutely brutalized those women. But the fact of the matter is those women were victims, and they were very brave to step out against a press that was ready to nail them, against a machine that was ready to make them bimbos. They were going to be, quote-unquote, nuts or sluts. And so they're there to basically shine the light of what that abuse can cause. Those women suffered. And frankly, I would like to see the mainstream press from NBC, ABC, CNN, all of them, have the decency to apologize to those women. They want to write them off. They've lived years. People like Kathleen Willey, she physically has suffered terribly. And, you know, a lot of those women, they don't even let their children use their last name, some of them, because they've been so humiliated. And some of them had death threats called vicious, vicious names. It's time for that to end. And it's time for, you know, the women of The View to stop being nasty, mean people to women who have been proven to be victims, and they owe them an apology. And for the American people to think twice about people that abuse victims, men or women, because you know what? Men get abused by women in power as well. We've seen that. So what we're just calling for is an equal standard, and they're there as a little reminder of what can happen to people who have been abused.
Quick follow-up on that one before we get to a couple final questions on Conyers and Franken. What do you make of folks on the left, both in politics and especially in the media, having kind of an epiphany on Bill Clinton and deciding that what he did actually was unacceptable, and some of them going so far as to say he should not have stayed in office when, of course, they were vigorously defending him or, as you suggested, questioning the integrity of the accusers a couple decades ago?
Well, what does that tell you about him? In some ways, I kind of think it's an ego issue. They realize right now the tide is changing. You know, the numbers are down on a network television. They're down on cable television. And a lot of their colleagues are getting busted, like Charlie Rose. So, frankly, now they're getting a conscience. I'm going to challenge them also to raise the standard of journalism, to stop the editorializing and go back to the old classic way of doing the news business, getting double sources, finding out the information and checking it out before you take a political position because you don't like a person or you like a person and are ready to make statements, quote documents that have not been checked thoroughly, and really ruining the lives of people. I think it's convenient for them right now because they want to not look like they were less than qualified, but they were not. Shame on them.
Real quick, yesterday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was on Meet the Press with Chuck Todd. He asked her directly whether the longest sitting member of the House of Representatives, John Conyers, who we now know was one of those settlements in the $17 million with a former staffer over sexual harassment allegations. Here is a couple different clips from their interaction on Sunday, Chuck Todd and Nancy Pelosi.
You said there's now a zero tolerance.
Yes.
John Conyers, what does that mean for him right now?
Let's say
in or out.
We are strengthened by due process. Mm-hmm. Just because someone is accused, and was it one accusation? Is it two? I think there has to be. John Conyers is an icon in our country.
Do you believe the accusers?
Excuse me?
Do you believe John Conyers is accused?
I don't know who they are. Do you? They have not really come forward. And that gets
so you don't know if you believe the accusations?
What? That's for the Ethics Committee to review. But I believe he understands what is at stake here, and he will do the right thing.
And then later in the day, he stepped down as the top Democrat on the House Judiciary Committee, but he's fighting to keep onto his seat here. BQ, that's the most powerful woman in American politics. What do you make of her explanation of John Conyers?
She puts the ick in politic. She should be ashamed of herself. You know, it reminds me of Animal Farm, you know, the old George Orwell Animal Farm. All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. In other words, if he's going to help her politically, she's going to close her eyes to this stuff. Either you have a standard or you don't in that office. We hired those people. They work for us. And if they can't go into that office, and remember, it's the people's house, it's the people's Senate, and do the job and honor and make this country a great country. You know, Americans have a standard of ethics. We're not always perfect. Everybody has something to hide. But when you're doing the job that you asked us for and you blatantly abuse it, then you need to go. And frankly, if she doesn't take that position too, she needs to go because she's aiding and abetting bad conduct that's serving the American people in a very bad way.
Al Franken, back at work on Monday, held a brief press conference saying that he's not going to give up his seat. He's going to work to rebuild the trust that he has lost with the people of Minnesota. He said that he didn't remember these alleged gropings at the photo opportunities because he takes so many pictures, but he feels terribly that the women felt that he acted in an inappropriate way. He says he's grateful that Leanne Tweeden accepted his apology, and he's looking to grow from this and become an important voice in this debate. What do you make of how he is conducting himself in the wake of his allegations?
He got stuck, you know, caught with his hands in the cookie jar. It's too late. The innocence is broken there. We know who he is. And frankly, he can apologize all he wants to, but would you really trust him from now? I mean, are you really going to trust him if he'd lie to the American people about this stuff? And frankly, if they'd lie about that fund and who's on it, would you trust those people? Those people are making decisions about your life, my life, and everybody that's listening live in the United States. And you can't trust them because they're going to lie to you. So frankly, the best way he can grow from this is to go from this. And that's my point.
Blanquita, we'll be watching on Wednesday. Thanks very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Well, I'm going to count on it. Join us at the National Press Club on the 29th of November from 10 a.m. And join us as Americans demanding the release of the list.
Blanquita Cullum, longtime radio talk show host. She is a Senate-confirmed former governor on the Broadcast Board of Governors. She has hosted radio programs on the East Coast, in Texas, and in Chicago, where she now hosts the program called The Hard Question. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.